This is Tasting Room Radio, year 14. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and you can find the details for this show at mulliganstew.ca. Just look up Tasting Room Radio. We began this show in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench when we discovered that not one radio station in the Okanagan had a weekly wine show. And we continue down this road simply because the BC wine industry, the Canadian wine industry, has just grown and grown and gotten better and better and better. And we invited and coerced winemakers and growers and management from all over the wine world to come to British Columbia and make us better. And they did. And they do. They continue every day. Now, who's on the show today? It goes like this. Joanna Slosser is co-founder and co-manager, co-partner, and wife and mother at Niche Wine Co. in West Kelowna. Her husband, James, would love to have come to the phone, but he was a little busy building buildings and doing foundations and things that you have to do when you're a farming community. And we're going to talk about new releases from Niche. They're small batch bubbles and two Pinots. They're Pinot Noir from 2019. It is a beautiful thing. And the 2018 Extra Mile Pinot Noir. We'll tell you about their clones. The vines are 23 years old. So we'll talk about Niche and why they're small batch. They're right beside the huge conglomerate that is known as Mission Hill. And they're small batch, Garage East, and I love them for that. So we're talking Niche wines in the first couple of segments. And then a return to Okanagan Crush Pad and Christine Coletta, who's going to take us through the new releases from Narrative Wines. And finally, the Wine Diva has a special on bubbles. I was looking up wine pairing for Easter weekend, and if it didn't say rosé or pinot noir, it said bubbles or brut or cava. So she is the bubble queen, truly. So the Wine Diva with highly recommended and personally tasted bubble for you for this weekend, for Easter weekend, and for the rest of the summer, frankly. So here we go. This is Tasting Room Radio, March 27. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. And since they've opened the new Crown and Thieves, it's been a glorious, sheer and utter madness. The success has seen them already sell out of four wines, The Scoundrel Punch, Chenin Blanc, Gewurztraminer, and Broken Wing Merlot. But luckily, the latest bottling run has replenished the stock with new vintages of Winemaker's Wench, Mr. Higginbotham Chardonnay, the new Little Nipper Pinot Gris, and the brand new Pinky Blinders Rosé. The wine club has been selling like crazy, and an obvious benefit is one active membership means you are a VIP at all of their locations. All the details at thehatchwines.com. As promised, we are heading for West Kelowna, which used to be West Bank, really. People still call it West Bank. West Kelowna and Niche Wine Company, Small Batch Wines. And I have Joanna Slosser, who is the co-founder, and my contact, because James is always on a tractor or in the field or in the cellar or doing something, but they are quite a pair. And the thing about this small Garage East operation, literally in the shadow of Mission Hill, is they at one point were small, hands-on winery, but it just exploded, as you well know. And so that's no knock on them, because that's what they wanted to do and that's what they did. But there's a different way of making wines. It's called small batch. That's why we're going to examine this as well in detail. Did I get that part of the story right, Joanna?
You sure did. Yeah, most of our releases that we put out are less than 200 cases. Really, most are less than 100. So when we say small batch, you know, it's really micro in nature.
Let me just get caught up to speed here. How are you doing during this COVID pandemic around you, your family? How are you doing?
You know what? We're all managing. We're faring well. Farm life doesn't slow down. So there's definitely been no pause in the work that we do. And I would also say that there's been such an outpouring of support from people in this province to support local. And that's made a really big impact on our business. So You know, despite some pretty tough times all around, it's been a good year for Niche.
How did that support show itself? I mean, the best way, of course, is that they're buying your wines and taking them home with them. I mean, did it show up? Did the community show up? Did you feel support from around you as well?
Definitely. You know, we were part of programs like Buy BC. We had a lot of outpouring of support from local organizations that, you know, of course, we want people to buy our wine, and buying online has never been easier. But it doesn't always have to be with your dollars that you show support. So lots of people sharing and liking and talking about what we're up to. It's been a pretty great feeling.
I think it's fair to say that that wineries and small businesses, restaurants, who had a web presence before this pandemic came down, were much better positioned to actually do business and sell over the internet. It all kind of worked out in that regard, right?
I couldn't agree more. And actually, we had just set up our online store just a year previous. And so when the pandemic hit and the first lockdown came into effect, we started something called the Small Batch Box Program. And we were able to launch that, I want to say, maybe 2 weeks into the lockdown. And you could purchase wine, but also we had other products from other small businesses. And so if you were at home, you know, kind of with the lockdown blues, you could order one of these boxes and kind of have an experience that you would normally have out and about.
Now, we'll get to those boxes in a minute, okay? But first, Joanna, let's talk Niche and new releases. You were kind enough to send along three releases. We're going to do the bubble in this segment, Small Batch Bubble. You did make a commitment to bubble, didn't you? You were both bubble hounds, you and Jim?
Yeah, more myself than James, but he promised me that he would make me one, so here we are.
Now, did you describe what kind of bubble you liked? Because the bubble that comes out of that bottle is tight, it's structured, it is a complete mouthful. There's no lazy, slow bubble. It is a bit of a bubble war in your mouth.
Yeah, I actually... where we are, our property, we're quite high in altitude. So we're at about 620 meters, which, you know, one of the highest vineyards in the valley. And what that means to the wine is that there's really, really nice acidity. We can hold on to flavor because we can hang the grapes long, but we still hold that acidity until harvest. And that is a perfect recipe for making a bubble. So this is a Gewurztraminer Riesling and a small amount of Pinot Blanc blend. It's all estate fruit. And I think the combination of those three grapes and the acidity just make for a really nice glass to celebrate with.
The acidity works well with food pairings, as we all know. But also, does that help in terms of cellaring? I mean, did you imagine what this would be like maybe 2, 3, 5 years from now?
That's definitely possible. It's not in our house, but yes, it's definitely that acidity really allows you to age a wine a lot longer than a wine with less acidity.
Define off dry. Everybody has a different meaning and version of that.
Yeah, I feel like we know that dry is the trend, and people tend to like wines that are less sweet. And although I definitely agree with that, I think balance is really what we're looking for. So when you think about a wine, the residual sugar, the pH, the acidity, the alcohol, all of those things work together to create the experience on the palate, on the nose, and in the finish. So for us, off dry just gives it that balance. And when we take it right to dry, we're never quite as happy with it. Okay. So this is for people in the know, it's a 6.0 residual sugar. So it's not quite dry, but very close.
Niche Wine Company, Small Batch Wines. And I have Joanna Schlosser, who is the co-founder. And now you've had a chance, of course, because you are the person who made it and created it and offered it to us. You might have worked your food pairings with your bubble, Small Batch Bubble. What was the dead center? What was the one that worked best for you?
You know, James and I are both of the belief that there really isn't a lot that bubbles don't pair with. I would say the same of rosé. You know, they're just very food-friendly wines. So for us, seafood, charcuterie are great pairings. I love this with a bowl of buttered popcorn. And I think, you know, It's really, bubbles is a, brings a sense of occasion. So it's perfect really for any celebration. So I often like to say it pairs really well with a birthday cake.
Actually, I know what it pairs well with. I'm going to check this out because it goes really well with a vaccine shot.
Yeah, you let me know, okay?
Now, how many of us, here's the thing that you need to know, because they proudly say small batch, garage yeast. There's 175 cases of this small batch bubble.
That's right.
How hard are we going to have to chase this bottle?
We are fortunate enough with this wine to work with our Save-On Foods partner. So you'll find it across the province in the Save-On Food wine aisle. We also work with a handful of passionate small wine shops. So places like Liberty in North Vancouver, Urban Liquor here in the Okanagan. And then, of course, you can find it online.
Does any of it make its way into Alberta?
You know what? We have done that in the past, but what we've found now is just our, you know, we've had 2 years of reduced crop in the vineyard. So our case number is down about 20%. Mm-hmm. So right now we just don't have the volume to be able to move there, but certainly in the future. And of course we can ship online, you know, to Alberta. So direct from the winery is probably the best if you're living in Alberta.
And the smaller production, is that a, was that a one-off? Was that just the growing year?
We had two harvests in a row there where, you know, for different reasons, winter damage and, you know, a damp spring the following year that really impacted the crop load. It's very unusual to have that happen 2 years in a row. But we, you know, across the valley, we saw a reduction in harvest of about 25%.
Niche wine company, small batch wines. And I have Joanna Schlosser, who is the co-founder. All right, before I head off to the segment two and the two Pinots back to back, let's talk about those small batch boxes for a second. Just to define what's in, say, the Sophia or the Tony.
Yeah, so we partnered with Okanagan Pasta Co. They're also a couple with a small business here in the Okanagan. They're making fresh pasta and meal kits. If you're someone who wants your dinner ready in less than 5 minutes, this is definitely for you. It's fresh pasta, pasta sauce, charcuterie and cheese to start, and a dessert to finish, and paired with two bottles of niche wine. And deliveries happen every Friday. So we're running that for the next 6 weeks. And then the other small batch box we have planned is a Mother's Day box, and that is more details coming on that soon.
Joanna, there's a Tony Bennett, there's a Sophia Loren, there's a Mario?
Yes, Andretti.
Mario Andretti and a Donatella.
That's right.
Okay, so listen, I need to know, is there a Sinatra? Is there a Stallone? Is there a De Niro? Is there a Pacino? Is there a Stanley Tucci? Where does
you know,
it go?
I feel a round two coming on. I feel I'm going to call you for naming suggestions.
Oh, it's easy. You just hit the Google machine. There's lots of lots of Italians out there.
The truth be told, my family has an Italian background, and I feel like what I've learned from that culture is food and wine and being together. There's just you just can't beat that. So this combination is a thrill for us because it's a way for us to offer that kind of experience to people in addition to our wine.
We are talking niche wine company, small batch wines. We just went through the bubbles, the 2019 bubbles, which is...
Yeah, that's $26.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Farmhouse Pinot and the Extra Mile 2018 Pinot. Two very different people. I mean, they're all the same thing, but different clones, and you'll see how it works out. Joanna, hold on. When we come back, we'll talk Pinot, okay?
Good.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. And since they've opened the new Crown and Thieves, it's been a glorious, sheer and utter madness. The success has seen them already sell out of four wines, The Scoundrel Punch, Chenin Blanc, Gewurz Demeanor, and Broken Wing Merlot. But luckily, the latest bottling run has replenished the stock with new vintages of Winemaker's Wench, Mr. Higginbotham Chardonnay, the new Little Nipper Pinot Gris, and the brand new Pinky Blinders Rosé. The wine club has been selling like crazy. And an obvious benefit is one active membership means you are a VIP at all of their locations. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Spring bottling date is fast approaching. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite. Recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that a couple of mix and match sales are on. They're slowly opening the tasting room up. Currently Wednesday to Saturday, 12 to 4. Starting in April, it'll expand to 5 days a week from 10 to 5, and live music will start in April, Saturdays only. You can find all the details at EnricoWinery.com. Welcome back, Tasting Room Radio. Terry David Mulligan, Joanna Schlosser from Niche Wine Company in West Kelowna. Small batch wines, my friends. Like even Garagiste style, you know, below 2,000 cases. I am attracted to that. I'll tell you, I'm very interested in those small wineries because it's as close as you're going to get to hands-on, literally totally committed to each and every case and bottle and growth. So now we get to, are you, Joanna, is it fair to say that you are Pinot people?
We are.
And you've sent along two Pinots to taste and fondle. Let's start with the 2019 Farmhouse. Now, I got confused because it's called Farmhouse on your website, but there's no Farmhouse on the bottle. So I don't want to confuse people standing there looking at all of the Pinots in their store. Just know Niche 2019 Pinot is what you're looking for, right?
That's right. Yeah. So Farmhouse is what we call this series of wines. So it's our, you know, our bread and butter. It's what we started with. And then the extra mile, which we'll talk about later, is our reserve series of wines. So the 2019, or Pinot in general, is really our reason for being. My father-in-law read The Heartbreak Grape, 25 years ago, and immediately thought putting grapes in the ground was a good idea. And the rest is really history. So this specific grape holds a really special place in our hearts and also on our palates. We're big Pinot lovers.
That's amazing because any vine that's in the ground for 25 years has a sense of itself. It's those roots are deep. You're going to get great fruit off those vines.
That's right. Yeah. And I feel like up where we are, we have a completely south-facing slope and we're high in altitude. So what that means is we have good air drainage. We don't have very many pest problems that we have to tackle. And we get that good diurnal flux. So we have, 35 degree weather during the day, and then it cools right down at nighttime to, 15 degrees in the summer, which just gives that, this grape varietal really shines in those kinds of conditions.
Hey, Joanna, I'm seeing a renewed interest and even more interest in what the clones are. People want to know the vicinity and they want to know the growing season. But now they're starting to ask me about what clone is that? What clone? Tell us what clone it is. So how about this one, the Farmhouse?
Yeah, this is two different clones. It's 667 and 115.
Okay.
So I think we started with the 115 and a small section of the 667. And then, both really shine there. We have played around with the idea of planting some 777, but we're really happy with how these are doing there. So, we have 25 years to kind of prove that they're pretty happy where they are.
Is it a 50-50 blend? How does it work? And are they cellared separately and then blended at the end?
So it depends on the year, but this year, yes, that's how it happened. As James, as we harvested, kept all of the different clones separate. And then we have a small vineyard, but it's in two different sections. And so we also did a top vineyard and a bottom vineyard and kept those separate just to, really get a sense of what's happening on the property, and then tasting and blending kind of happened from there.
I saw a note go by that caught my attention right away because I don't see it very often. And it said, this wine was made in the vineyard. Joanna, please just explain the phrase made in the vineyard.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of, when you think about cooking, it's a similar situation. The meal is the end result. But the ingredients, the quality of the ingredients put into whatever that dish is really what's going to determine how great it is. So that's kind of how we look at winemaking. So for us, you know, like this is a huge time of year. The growing season is really where, you know, all the blood, sweat, and tears happen. And then the reward is the fruit that hits the crush pad.
You know, here's the deal. I don't know what I'm, maybe this is a COVID-related thing, but I didn't get any, I couldn't find the dill on the nose. But I found the pepper, and I found the raspberry, and I absolutely, positively found the spice and the ripe cherry in the mouth. It's an experience. This is a what? Not only is it a great Pinot now, I would love to taste this 2, 3, 4 years down the road.
Well, I hope you can wait that long.
No, I can't. No.
I do think, you know, that it does, going back to that idea of balance, this is a very balanced wine. And it's also a very elegant Pinot Noir. You know, there's lots of different styles of Pinot Noir. It's why so many people are so attracted to it. The big, bold, heavy ones from California. This is a much more what I would call a BC style Pinot Noir. Has that elegance, and it's lighter, but still has a lot of body to it.
125 cases. What's the price point on the farmhouse Pinot?
It's $28.
Will we find this Pinot at local stores?
The Pinot Noir you'll find the same places we talked about for the small batch bubble. So Save-On Foods, small wine shops like Legacy and Liberty, and here in Kelowna, Urban and Cask and Barrel.
What else have you got in the farmhouse series that you want to tell us about?
We have a Farm Fresh White. So that's a kind of signature white blend for us. We've been making that for a few years now. It's a Riesling Gewurztraminer blend. It's an off-dry, floral, beautiful summer sipper. And we also have a Merlot, and that's new for us. It's part of our kind of plot twist, we call it. Because we can't grow Merlot where we are, so we purchased wine from a neighboring farm in the South Okanagan, and this is our first vintage of that.
Well done. By the way, is there such a thing as an Easter wine?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, when I think of Easter, I think of brunch, really. So I think a bubble is never a bad idea, but also a Pinot Noir can be a really nice pairing okay. with a charcuterie board, so, or a frittata. So I think, you know, I mean, all wine is Easter wine to me.
Frittata. Okay. Now, here comes the one I've been dying to talk about. It's the Pinot Noir Extra Mile 2018. There's a 57 cases, my friends. Mm-hmm. 57 cases. That's it. What's the price point?
This is $45.
Okay. Tell them why it is and how special this wine is to you.
Yeah, so 2018 for us was a beautiful year in the vineyard in terms of the fruit quality that came in. We were low in volume, but high in quality. The Extra Mile series is really about us doing just that, going the extra mile. So we had newer oak on this. We had, you know, it's a barrel select, so it's the three barrels that James loved the most of the set. And then it stays a little longer in the barrel, so about 16 months as opposed to the 11 that the farmhouse series was barrel aged for. So I think it's just really time and care, and then also that kind of curated selection of the best of the best.
And this is just clone 115 all by itself, right?
That's right. Yeah. And that's not to say that next year it wouldn't have 667. It's just that this year, you know, the 2018, for whatever reason, that was the one that stood out to us.
25% new oak on the barrels?
That's right. So, you know, it really comes back to that balance. You want to make sure that you're not over-oaking. You want to still have that fruit do, you know, be the star of the show. So,
there you go.
That's just a blend that we found really works.
For those of you who want such things, and I think you want these descriptors, soft texture, beautiful mouth texture, beautiful. Violet and truffles on the nose. Truffles on the nose. Think about it for a second. Really dark cherry. It's everything you want in a Pinot. You just have to get your hands on it. It's the Extra Mile 2018 Pinot, small batch from Niche Wine Company. in West Kelowna. Now, I noticed that there's a line that keeps coming up time and time again, and that is, we couldn't have done this without help from our friends and our family in Harvest, frankly. I guess you find out who your friends are.
That's right. That's right. Especially those that return the next year, right?
They come back, you feed them and give them a glass of wine? Absolutely, positively. Listen, how did the picnic project go last year? You were talking about that.
Yeah, it was great, and it was a good test for us to see, you know, I think the reality is that connection to farm life is something people crave, and we're excited to be able to offer that. So we are just broke ground on the construction of a small new production facility, and we're very much looking forward to hosting people, hopefully by the end of August.
Did the bocce court happen?
It did, yes. We have two pergolas and a gravel bocce court and a few picnic tables, an umbrella, and a stunning view of Lake Okanagan.
And what will spring, summer, and fall look like at Niche with the pandemic?
Well, we're going to be in the throes of construction for the spring and summer, so there won't be anything open to the public. So online, small batch boxes, new releases of our Pinot Noir Blanc, and some fun wines, like a 16-case release of a estate Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the end of summer, beginning of fall, we'll be in full harvest prep mode and hopefully opening our farm gates to members of our wine club and the public.
I'm going to ask this. If people wanted to offer their help at harvest time, would you encourage them to contact you?
They are certainly welcome to message me, but careful what you wish for is what I'd say about that.
Yeah, that's very true. And how are you doing with our friends in Alberta? I understand that you have a lot of fans there.
We have a large amount of wine club members from Alberta, and their support is invaluable to us. So, and also, you know, there's a lot of people that visit the Okanagan from Alberta in the summer. So lots of support from that province for sure.
All right. Tell them how they can get a hold of you. What's your website?
Nichewinecompany.com. And we are on Instagram at nichewineco.
Okay. And you're in West Kelowna. If you can, first of all, if you see the bell tower on Mission Hill, you'll know that you're in the neighborhood. That's how it works.
That's right.
Thank you for doing this. And I appreciate the early morning rise up and talking about wines. And I love your wines. I love your releases. And now we got to go find them.
All right. Thank you so much.
Niche Wine Company, Joanna Slusher, is our guest. James was out doing James things. I mean, they're building and there's foundations to build and all sorts of things to do. They are small batch farmers. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Spring bottling date is fast approaching. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris, The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite, recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that a couple of mix and match sales are on. They're slowly opening the tasting room up. Currently Wednesday to Saturday, 12 to 4. Starting in April, it'll expand to 5 days a week from 10 to 5. And live music will start in April, Saturdays only. You can find all the details at EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open for spring, Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open, with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours, Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the Bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of 6 or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. She is Christine Coletta, and she is the co-founder of Okanagan Crush Pad, Haywire, Narrative, all of the wineries and all of the labels involved in Okanagan Crush Pad in Summerland. We welcome you back to Tasting Room Radio. How are you?
I am very well in beautiful Summerland. Thank you.
I know that John Skinner at Painted Rock has made some nice inroads in that London market in particular. Have people taken to your wines there, and are you making inroads?
We are. We've been selling wine in that market for over 5 years, and we have a distributor. I had a lovely story the other day. I got an order online, and it came from the UK. And I thought, oh dear, I hope they don't expect me to ship this case of wine to London. And it was actually going to Ontario, which, as you know, is also a little bit of a rocky road. But there was a note they wanted me to include in it, and it said, I had this wonderful wine from Haywire in a Michelin-starred restaurant in London, mm-hmm. and I thought you would enjoy it because it's from Canada and it's close to you. I was really thrilled with that because it sort of comes full circle when you've been working in an export market and it comes back to creating a sale for you back at your own winery.
Well, Christine Coletta, let's talk about the future champs at the Narrative Portfolio. There's a Viognier Syrah. There's a Viognier. There's a Syrah Viognier. There's a Syrah and others in the future. Can we start with what essentially is a rosé, Viognier Syrah. Although it doesn't say on the front label rosé, it does on the back, I believe, refers to it. How did this come about?
Well, it came about, actually, I was in Oregon and was at a wonderful winery in Oregon snooping around, and I came across a Viognier Syrah blend. And typically, it's the reverse, where Syrah is the dominant variety in the blend, with Viognier just, you know, you tip your hat to Viognier with maybe 5 or 10%, and the bulk of it being Syrah. And in this case, the winery had reversed it, and it was a delightful wine. It was a really hot day, and we sat out on a patio, enjoyed a chilled glass, and I thought, I think Matt Dumaine could do this. And I think he's probably going to do it in a really bizarre, crazy way with a concrete tank. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So I brought some bottles back with me from that trip, and one thing led to another. I like the idea of taking Viognier, having the base white wine Viognier, having a Syrah Viognier, and then also having the reverse of that. I think it's really informative for people to try wines that are sort of springboarding off of one another.
Yeah, it's like it's like a bait and switch. It's really
And you can sort of see how they each what role they each play.
Can I ask you about the surprising Viognier and how it was? What was the process with Matt?
Just a straight Viognier.
Straight Viognier, because I'm crazy about it.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you love it. I think a lot of time people find Viogniers to be sort of flabby and oily and too heavy, and I think Matt did a super job on this. It's got a lot of intense texture, which he really worked hard to sort of develop in his wines, and in this particular case, of course, concrete tanks, right?
Sure.
So slow fermentation also. He doesn't believe, and that's the beauty of the concrete tanks, is that you do tend to get a slow fermentation with them. You can control the heat in the concrete, and so like concrete floors, people who have radiant heat floors, as you well know, they heat up very slowly, cool down slowly. So I think this worked out fabulously on this Viognier, and I think that's the difference. It's just got nice structure and nice texture without that oiliness that and heaviness that Viognier sometimes has.
Exactly. And I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but do you know the price point?
$22.90.
Well done. How many cases?
Again, around 400.
And the reason why I ask about cases, I'm talking to the audience, is simply because you have to know how hard you're going to have to chase. If it's 70 cases, you know you better start get your running shoes on. But 400, yeah. You're going to find this wonderful Viognier. Now, the 2018 yeah. Syrah Viognier. What's not defined and is driving me crazy is I'd love to know the percentage of Syrah and Viognier.
Well, I believe what he did was he co-fermented Syrah and Viognier in an amphora. So that would have been 800, the amphora is 800 liters. So he probably has in this whole blend about, I would believe he's probably got about 400 liters of Viognier.
Okay.
Because, so I mean, it would be small. I suspect that it probably makes up about 3 or 4% of the total blend.
Well, it's certainly there on the nose. So the clay amphora, I understand that. The skin's for 9 months. And then the reverse of that. So then the Syrah, it's got the amphora and the concrete, and then it gets blended at the end.
Yes. Yeah.
Spice, texture, mouthfeel, fabulous. What an interesting wine.
It really is, and I just love the idea of adding a little Viognier into this raw to spice things up and sort of make ours stand out from what other people are doing. Often the concrete tanks will do that on their own because not very many people are using them to the degree that we are, and certainly not on red wines exclusively without having those wines go into barrel at some point. So it just the net result of this is just, again, that sort of texture that he loves to showcase and the mid-palate. And that's one thing that we've really been working for, is more structure in the mid-palate all the way through our wine.
She is Christine Coletta, co-founder of Okanagan Crush Pad. And in this case, we're talking about her label called Narrative, which is David's, if I remember correctly, was his idea. Wine tells a story? Yeah. Viognier, so the Viognier Syrah, 2019. The Viognier, I just threw that in there. The 2018 Syrah Viognier are fantastic, but here comes this amazing, and it proves once again, it's a 2016 Syrah Organic. 2 years in the bottle, just or however long it was in that bottle. It just pays off so handsomely when you open it up. The nose is incredible. The concrete is there. It pays for itself many, many times. It's got a wonderful soft mouthfeel to it. It doesn't bang you over the head. And there's a lift in the mouth, an incredible, beautiful, spiritual lift in the mouth. I can't recommend it high enough.
And you know, the interesting, I think across the board, we tend to drink BC wines too young.
Yep.
And there's always this rush for new, fresh wines. If I hear the word fresh again, I might blow up because this is an example of a wine that in 2016, it's just really come into its own. And it is that one sells for $27.90, and I just love it. And I think it's great when you can find wines with a little bottle age on it. We've taken the trouble of aging it in our cellar before, and you don't have to do that.
Well done.
At your cellar. So yeah, I love this wine. I think it's fabulous, and I think it's a really nice contradiction, if you would, to the Syrah Viognier 18.
Now the totally. It's the truth, is what it is. Mm-hmm. On your website, you have a list of winter reds. I love, and that caught my attention right away. And this Syrah, this organic Syrah, is one of your winter reds. Your husband, Steve, you remember Steve?
Yes.
He's working on a new concept with concrete. What's he doing? Oh, I know. It's a great idea. It's a great idea. Why not make the concrete from the actual soil that the vineyards are growing in?
Exactly. So Steve has been wanting to make concrete tanks. He loves concrete. I mean, his idea of a great date night is to take me to Concrete World, which is in Florida, in some hideous place.
That's great.
And it's a convention of everything to do with concrete. So he knows how to show a girl a good time, that's Steve. So anyway, we finally relented and let him put some concrete tanks together. They're 300 liters, so they're smaller. But what he did was he took sand and gravel from each of our three vineyards and made three tanks from each of those soil samples. So we have three Seacrest Mountain Vineyard tanks, three Garnet Valley Ranch tanks, and three Switchback tanks. And we put different lots of wine in it, and they are fermenting away nicely. Matt Dumain snoops around and checks in on them daily, and they are going through malolactic fermentation right now. And the idea is that at the end of the summer, or the end of spring, hopefully, whenever they're finished doing their thing, we will put them in little sample bottles, and we are convening a sensory evaluation team made up of some wine journalists, if you happen to know anyone, TDM, that might be interested in
thank you
sitting on this, and some trade, some sommeliers, and also some of our club members. And we're going to sit down and taste them and see if we can identify any of the impacts on the wine.
I certainly throw my name in the and I remember getting your original first ever releases in the test tubes on the Naramata bench. It was such a shock to open the package and see the wines in test tubes. I love that. Thank you, Professor. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, I'm putting you on the list. Hang on. Just going to make myself a note. TDM Sensory Evaluation Team. Done.
Thank you. Okay. Last question. I think it's an overview, and I would ask you that because, of course, you're the godmother of the Okanagan wine industry.
Thank you. Can't have Sandra Oldfield being the godmother.
No, we can't have
She's
Sandra.
Too young.
No. How damaged was the wine industry by 2020 and the pandemic? And can it recover? And have we lost wineries in the process?
The wine industry did incredibly well. What I just have received the sales data, which I get regularly, and everyone did an amazing job of pivoting from licensee on-premise accounts to direct-to-consumer and also to private retailers. And the private retailers have really stepped up and supported BC Wines, which we collectively thank them from the bottom of our hearts. And we know that our dear friends in the restaurant industry will be back, and they'll be back in force. And everyone's just waiting for that day. A lot of customers turned to support BC Wine in the short term. I hope that trend continues. We saw people ordering direct from wineries. And collectively, the industry is up about 6% from the data I've received. So
amazing.
We weathered it quite well. Will there be wineries that fall off? Yes, there will be. There always is. And even in good times, there are. Because it's a tough business. And the toughest piece of it is grape supply. If you don't have your own land and you don't have a committed, reliable source of grapes, it's the biggest challenge that most wineries face. And this year, as you may know, and others have probably talked about, the crop was down 30%.
Yep.
So there's going to be people in a really bad position, and that is the number one thing that's challenging for them, I believe, this year, is supply. Yep.
Thank you for your wines and your friendship. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in person soon. And I look forward to you getting off of the rock, coming to the big city.
I will get off the rock as fast as I humanly can. I guarantee you. I can't wait to get off the rock.
And you need to come and visit your friends in the Okanagan.
I will, and I'll bring double masks.
Excellent.
Christine Coletta, who washed her hands for this interview, the co-founder of Okanagan Crush Pad, and the label we're talking about today, Narrative. And when we come back, we're going to talk Gamay with Jay Drysdale at Bella. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open for spring, Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open, with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours, Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the Bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of 6 or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Moon Cursor. Lots of new wines coming, which is a good thing, since they've sold out of everything but a little bit of Dead of the Night and the award-winning Tariga Nationale. The new wines will be available for sale in the tasting room and online by mid to late April. Moon Cursor will continue with appointment-only tastings, but will accommodate walk-in customers whenever possible. Because of the expected lower-than-normal yields of 2019, they will have less wine for sale this year than they normally would, and they're encouraging everyone, including the club members, to stock up now rather than later. All the details at mooncursor.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. She is Dana Van Mulligan, the Wine Diva. You can find all the information we're talking about and more at winediva.ca, winescores.ca, which is a serious look at wine, serious, really serious, like a deep search. And have fun with the main page when you get there. I always go to wines and I press that, and a drop-down menu comes. There's all sorts of things there, like articles that she's been writing. But I like wine lists. She's an expert on wine lists, very good at it. But just know that it's taken a year to get this list compiled, tasted, written, notes written about, all those things. It's a staggering amount of wine. So the bubble, and we've established that you're a bubble hound because you speak about bubble symposiums all the time. So let's give them a crash course here. Okanagan Crush Pad, the Narrative XC Method Sparkling Okanagan Valley, of course, from Summerland. What is Narrative XC?
A blend of Pinot Blanc, Gewürztraminer, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir, mostly. That's what I was told by the winemaker. Mm-hmm. And it's called XC just because that's the name of the tanks that they make it in. And beyond that, that's the only reason. But it's definitely on the sweeter side. It's kind of like apples and oranges, and it's got a very nice fizzy character to it. It's a fun wine at $24 and $25. It's 2018 vintage.
They really did make a commitment to bubble Okanagan Crush Pad. They really did. You got to hand it to them. How about See You Later Ranch Sparkling Brut from the Okanagan Valley?
Yes, so this is a blend of traditional method sparkling wine blend that was aged on lees for 3 years. So it's got a little bit more of that complexity, kind of like apple turnovers, grilled lemons, kind of a roasted, creamy character. And for $24, it's a great deal. I think if you can get this probably in quite a few places around the province.
She's the wine diva, Dana Van Mulligan. I believe, Dana, it was you who really did school me on cava. You said, what do you know about cava? And this was years ago. How about a cava?
Yeah, you know, for me, cava offers some of the best value in the market because it is traditionally made. So it's a more labor-intensive way of making sparkling wine. And this happens to be Freixenet, and the classic black bottle. It's the Cordon Negro bottle, and you know it's inexpensive. I know it's like $16.50, but really it's got some nice freshness to it and creaminess to it. It's straightforward, but it's very enjoyable, bubbly, and you can buy that by the case and just have it around all the time.
And you like their gold bottle, the Prosecco from Veneto, right?
Yeah, so Freixenet has branched out from Spain, where they make the cava, where their home is, to make Prosecco. Obviously, they saw the popularity of Prosecco, so they decided to branch out, and they made a pretty decent bottle of Prosecco from the Veneto, and it's $20, and it's a beautiful little bottle. It's kind of like a crystal-looking bottle, so, you know, they did a good job.
I'm Terry David Mulligan. She is Dana Van Mulligan, the wine diva.
Gravitas is also from Cava. It's also from Spain, $16.99. I personally think this one's kind of one step up from the Freixenet. I think it's got a little bit more complexity. It's been in the market for a long time, and it's so widely available. $16.99. It's a great bottle to have around at the holidays.
There's a lot of Prosecco coming out of the Veneto, Italy, and for that matter. Why the Valdo?
Valdo has been in the market forever, I think. It's probably one of the most longest living Proseccos in our market. It's the Marco Oro. And I know it used to be the number one selling in our market. I'm not sure if it still is, but $23.99, that's about the price you pay for a Prosecco. It's in that price point. And it's got a nice freshness to it, nice floral character. It's very easy to drink.
Let's do some BC bubble. Dana Van Mulligan, the wine diva. This is a bubble list for you. The Play Estate Winery, Teatro Moscato Frontanti. Now, teatro means theater. So how does that get in there?
Well, I think it just has to do with play. It's a play on words, the teatro.
Okay.
The winery itself is in Penticton and Scawhall Hills area. And this wine is made from Muscat. So you kind of think right away it's going to be sweet.
Sweet, yeah.
But it's not overly sweet. It just has a little bit of fruit sweetness to it. It's got some nice citrus. It's a really, it's a pretty drink. It's a charming wine, and it's $22, 2019 vintage.
And we know that Township 7 Vineyards has made a commitment to a bubble. Their winery, Seven Stars Equinox. You've talked about this one before. This is, have they made enough for all of us?
Well, there's, I kind of took a look at the list, and I know some of them are no longer available, and I did want to at least talk about wines that are available. This is a Pinot Noir, and we know that Township 7 is putting a lot of effort into their their bubble program now. They're making five different ones, competing on a world-class level. This one, the Pinot Noir, like I said, has got so much complexity and a very fine, tiny bubble to it. It's razor-sharp finish, $46, 2016 vintage.
Many years ago, when Harry McWaters proudly poured his Stella's J, Mountain J Brut, it might have been a different Brut at the time, but Stella's J was, I think, the first bubble, really serious committed bubble in the Okanagan. How's it doing now?
Well, it's still around. It's got its own name now. It started out as Sumac Ridge Stella's J, but now Stella's J is its own brand. And it's, you know, it's readily available. I think it's a very reliable, it's always a very reliable wine. It's Pinot Blanc, Pinot Noir, and Chardonnay, always made traditionally. And just, you're not going to go wrong with it. $23, and it's the 2016 vintage right now.
I love the Blue Mountain Vineyard and Cellars Brut Rosé. I love a Brut Rosé from anyone. But from Blue Mountain, you know it's going to be great.
Like, you know, I would say they're the bubble program at Blue Mountain is probably their flagship. You know, people know them for that, even though they make a wide range of, you know, French varietals and sparkles. This one is, of course, Pinot Noir with Chardonnay, and it does have a light, so it's have some skin contact. It's a little bit pink. It's got that red berry aromas, nice taut acidity, brioche characters, and you can't go wrong with any sparkle from them. It's $40, and it's the 2016 vintage.
Best of the bubbles from Dana Van Mulligan, the Wine Diva, winediva.ca, winescores.ca. Just go to the website, and there's a drop-down list when you hit wines, and then there's the wine list, and just have fun with it. It's fantastic. Print it up. Have it with you. Lackady. From Annapolis Valley, Nova Scotia, just outside of Halifax. It's taken a while for them to get up and running and find out what the land and the terroir would give them. And Lackady was fantastic. Hard work to get to this point. And congratulations to them for having two bottles back to back. You want to tell them about it?
Yeah, so I actually have three of their wines in this list. I've got their rosé, their vintage cuvée, and as well their Prestige Brut Estate, which we talked about last week. So the Prestige Brut is about $55. The Vintage Cuvée Rosé and the Vintage Cuvée are a little bit less. They're probably about $20 less. 2017 Vintage, you can find them in BC private wine stores. Just really well-made wines from a great winemaker from Nova Scotia. And I think they're just interesting, you know, something to try because it's not easy to get wine from Nova Scotia unless you're in Nova Scotia. So they're all, I think all three of them are worth trying.
And congratulations to the winemaker, the owner, former British Columbia winemaker owner, Bruce Ewart at Lackady. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. A couple more from British Columbia. Mission Hill, family estate winery, their Reserve Brut, well made.
This is made like a Prosecco. That's the style it's made. So it's not a traditional method. So their secondary fermentation, which causes the bubbles, is done in a tank. And it's made from Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. And it's just a fizzy, approachable wine. It's got tree fruits and floral characters. Like I said, if you like Prosecco, this is right in your wheelhouse.
Let's finish where we should finish, because they'd probably yell at me, at us, if we didn't mention, because they're a bubble house, Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards, the Fitz Brut and the Fitz Reserve Sparkling Rosé.
Yeah, I mean, Fitz as well is doing a fantastic job with their sparkling wine program. They're made from the historic Greta Ranch vineyard where is between Summerland and Peachland, there along Highway number 97. And this particular one, the that we're talking about, the Fitz Brut, is made from Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc, and Pinot Meunier. And it's got weight and complexity, freshness, $33 a bottle, great price. And then their Fitz Reserve Sparkling Rosé is just a few dollars more at $42, $43. And this one's made entirely of Pinot Noir, so it's just a light blush color. It's got that tangerine, raspberry, cranberry aromas. Lovely wines.
It's wonderful to just lock yourself in and chill these wines down and enjoy. Enjoy. And I know you will. She's Dana Van Mulligan. She is the Wine Diva. WineDiva.ca, Winescores.ca. You can see her in Vines Magazine, Monte Cristo, Vitus, and Taste Magazine. She writes, she tastes, and she shares her knowledge with us and with us at Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Moon Cursor. Lots of new wines coming, which is a good thing, since they've sold out of everything but a little bit of Dead of the Night and the award-winning Tariga Nacional. The new wines will be available for sale in the tasting room and online by mid to late April. Moon Cursor will continue with appointment-only tastings, but will accommodate walk-in customers whenever possible. Because of the expected lower-than-normal yields of 2019, they will have less wine for sale this year than they normally would, and they're encouraging everyone, including the club members, to stock up now rather than later. All the details at mooncursor.com.